Good morning. Welcome to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. You're going to hear from men staying with us about their journeys with addiction and/or homelessness, their struggles and their triumphs, and how, with the help of Neighbors of Hope, they're learning that through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning to our listening audience of Word Made Flesh. Pastor Steve here, and I'm super excited to bring to you on this edition of Word Made Flesh for the first time after 10 years of this radio ministry. We're going to share with you some voices from our Women and Children's Center in Tecumseh, Michigan. So, ladies, welcome to this first time joining us on Word Made Flesh. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you.
Very good. Very good. So before we went on the air, we selected a scripture that you all wanted to talk about, and that comes from Paul's writing in 2 Corinthians. So if I could have one of you read that for us, that would be fantastic.
All right. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Definitely a word of encouragement from St. Paul. Ladies, any of you want to begin sharing what kind of jumps out at you when you hear that read?
Right. Kind of what we're doing here, striving for that full restoration. I know that we encourage all one another. Being of one mind, this is exactly what we're doing in the Bible study, is striving to be in that one mindset, that God mindset. And I like that verse, greet one another with a holy kiss. Certainly we're not kissing each other here, but the sentiment is still there with loving one another.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. All right. Anybody else want to expound on that?
I have a thought. So what would greet one another with a holy kiss, what would that look like nowadays? Because
we're not supposed to
be going around kissing each other.
Or
so, any thoughts on what that might look like now?
I think maybe just what me and Karen did today in the kitchen. I helped her, and she gave me a hug. Mm-hmm. You know?
It would be, if we wrote that today, maybe it's a holy fist bump?
Yeah. A wave. I
don't know. Yeah. Obviously, Paul is speaking about, you mentioned this, this level of intimacy among believers that gives us this strong sense that we're not left alone in whatever struggles we're going through, you know. And restoration for Paul, we're talking about healing, right? We're restoring ourselves back to a fullness in Christ. Which oftentimes, you know, if we're honest, we catch ourselves kind of falling off our square, getting decentered. So part of this restoring is getting recentered. And for Paul, it's getting recentered in Christ. And then obviously, God's primary agenda for God's creation is community, which implies that's in relationships, which we don't do this alone. Therefore, we need to be encouraging one another.
I would agree with that 100%.
Anyone else?
I think it always moves me to be in this place with the women who are here, to see that the sisterhood, and that they really can bring each other to accountability, but that they also understand hurting times. It was recognized today that someone saw that I was just really having a little bit of a struggle, and she could recognize that in me and help me to understand that God can take care of me even when I'm hurting. And, you know, I think that's the restoration part that you're talking about, and that we come to this place, all of us, in some way broken a little bit or wounded from past hurts. And I don't think people come to the ministry expecting that they can be helpful towards others and walk the journey with others. a lot of times when you're broken and you've been in bad places, you do that alone. And we don't have to do that alone here at the ministry. We learn at the ministry that God is present in all of what goes on here, but that we can help each other along the journey. I think it's beautiful, and I see that happening here every day.
Mm-hmm. Right. I never expected to have female friends here or talk to each other about our lives and, you know, lift each other up every single day just by talking to each other. That's not something that you think of when you think of, like, a homeless shelter or whatever it's called.
The weird sorority, I like to call it.
Yeah.
The weird sorority, yeah. I like that.
But I think it goes both ways. I don't think it's just for the guests. I think it's for us employees, too.
I was just going to ask if that...
Yeah, there's days where I am feeling broken, and I am feeling down on my faith, and any number of these ladies can just sense that, and they offer up hugs and smiles and, you know, tell me to keep believing and to keep my faith, and... So it's definitely a two-way street.
And it's definitely a humbling matter when we think that, you know, that you can't, it's not an us and them. It's not staff and our guests.
Absolutely.
Because, right, the National Consortium on Homelessness recognizes that 66, so two out of every three adults who are experiencing homelessness, just received a paycheck in the past 30 days.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
So you're not far, you know, for any of us. We're not far away. So we have to recognize, you know, to use a kind of a current cliche, you know, we're all in this together. But it does parallel the spirituality of compassion that Jesus always shared. Not just in this empathy, feeling sorry for, recognizing, but in a sense what we'd call theologically his downward mobility, right? So Paul writes in Philippians, though he was equal with God, he did not see that as something to be exploited, but empties himself, taking on, right, the form of a human. This emptying, this giving himself away, not trying to climb the corporate ladder, but actually climbing downward, right? To be with those who are hurting, those who are broken, right? So that whole theology of brokenness is precisely, if we look around the room, who's exempt here? Right? Everybody here has gone through some pain. Right?
Absolutely.
And so that produces a solidarity of compassion. And then it moves us through that compassion to be, and it can be in fun times, and it can be in times of tears, but we stand in a solidarity of compassion and caring for one another. That then manifests, makes visible and tangible the very presence of Christ, is in that. Any other thoughts?
Well, just can I say thank you so much for that program. I think in my personal, my life is changing completely, because I remember when I come here, I'm crying, I feel depressed, and, you know. But honestly, I'm so proud. And this program is for every woman and children. It has amazing programs for everything, in the job, in the place, whatever. So... just can I say thank you so much for that program. It's amazing.
Oh, you're entirely welcome. Thank you as well. I don't want to speak too much on behalf of the staff, but, you know, I would tell people over, you know, I'm wrapping up my 14th year as the executive director here, and I tell people, look, if you want to meet Jesus, you need to come down. I used to say the big blue house on Broad Street, right? You need to come down. You need to come down here, because this is where I think you encounter the very living presence of the mystical Christ. It is right here in these acts of compassion and kindness that you were sharing with each other, right? So without you here, right, what would we do?
So true.
That's true.
Right. And something else I always tell people is, you know, I have the best job in the world. I rarely miss work. And because I get to wake up every day and go to work and encounter Christ.
Amen.
Right? Now, it's true that probably all of, you know, any of our anyone from our listening audience, it's just as true for them. But I think the challenge, particularly in the 21st century, is our lives are so busy. So busy. And we just may not see it. So I try to practice something in my life I once learned from Mother Teresa. All right? First thing in the morning, good morning, Jesus. That's it. That's how I start my day.
I like that.
You know, my feet come over the bed and I sit on the bed and it's good morning, Jesus. And that's just helped me put things in perspective from the get-go, right? Because let's be honest, I wasn't controlling my breathing while I was sleeping. I was not controlling my heart rate when I was sleeping. I wasn't controlling my brain activity even in the, and I rarely dream, but if you haven't, I say it's really, you know, thank you for another day.
Right.
It's all gift. It's just pure gift. I never asked for it. But yeah, you know, thank you. Good morning, Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? Because then it provides us these opportunities to look for Jesus in these visible, tangible things.
That's amazing, because when you stay in the programs and you, in this program teaching you how you can be prepared with the future, for job, house, everything, and you teach it about your compassion for another people, when you feel sad or when you feel, you know, stressed or something like that, you can take your Bible, you can pray, and you can feel when you pray the peace that God gives to you. And when you feel sad, in the Bible has a perfect answer about how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
So that program, when you teaching you everything about God, that's amazing, because you receive peace. You receive, well, amazing power God gives to you.
Which would be part of that scripture we read to kind of bring this back on point of being, you know, of one mind, one accord, right? We're in sync, right? I mean, we talk about how we sync our phones with other devices and everything, so they're, right, they're running on the same length there, same type of thing. We all want to be of one mind. Any other thoughts, closing thoughts?
I'm just thinking about the part that says it's about restoration. And I was reminded of the verse a little bit, a couple of chapters earlier in 2 Corinthians, and it says, 2 Corinthians 5:18 talks about how God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself, and he has given us the ministry of reconciling others to God. And I love that we can be ministers of his reconciliation. And that even happens, like, I see it every day, not only in the staff with being ministers of reconciliation to the guests, but the guests being ministers of reconciliation to each other. Like, I don't have to have it all together. Like, the restoration doesn't have to be complete in me for God to work through me to bring reconciliation to those around me. And I love that I get to see that every day, in the community of the women here. And I think it's just so beautiful that God can use us even when we haven't gotten all together to be that reconciliation to each other.
Yeah, what courage it takes to embrace your vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay. So here you're looking at the executive director. Right? And you go, but I'm as goofy as the next person. Right? I've got some shortcomings. I'm not perfect, right? But when we can be honest about our own vulnerabilities and expose ourselves, it's precisely what opens us up. The irony is, it's our way of, when I talk about downward mobility, it's our way of embracing our own powerlessness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's precisely when we embrace our powerlessness that we actually find power.
Mm-hmm.
So real quickly, maybe I'll end on this. You ever see the video 8 Mile?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So I used to share, not the whole video, but the closing battle. You remember that? Mm-hmm. He gets up there and he tattles on himself, right? He just exposes himself. You know, I'm white trailer trash, you know, my mom's this, blah, 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 blah. And then what's he do? He drops the mic. Now tell them something about me they don't already know. Mm-hmm. And so in our vulnerability, our sense of weakness and powerlessness, who wins the battle? He did, because you weakened your opponent. They have nothing left to tell you. Mm-hmm. We're the ones that I think get so caught up. It's like, well, you know, if I really tell you all about me, you might not like me. Mm-hmm. So then we put our guards up and we protect ourselves rather than just being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Good scripture. And ladies, let me say, it was a joy and a pleasure to finally be able to incorporate some female voices. I mean, 10 years has been men. So now hopefully our listening audience will appreciate we can include the female voice as well. So thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. And until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry, our Women's and Children's Ministry Center, the Blessings and More Donation Center, our Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Woven Hope Women's Boutique, and of course, this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Currently, we're also in the process of establishing our first Good Neighbor Center. To find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope, visit neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.